Following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Hang on just a second. We're going to do this again. Not the whole thing. But they're going to say Merry Christmas to you in the language that they sang, and they're going to tell you what language they sang. Go ahead, Sophie.
Maligayang Pasko in Tagalog, which is the Filipino language.
Yeah. Well done, too. It was great.
Chúc mừng Giáng sinh. I was singing Vietnamese.
Yes, thank you. Well done.
Milad Majid. I sang in Arabic.
Oh, man.
Feliz Dia de Natal. It's in Portuguese.
Yeah, well done, guys. Thank you. Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and
and behold him, born the King of Ages.
Let's all stand.
Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
Can you imagine how that sounds to God when he hears people, as the scripture says, from every nation, every tribe, every kindred, every voice group, every language group under heaven, saying glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men of goodwill. Remember this, the promise that came from the angel when he said, don't be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy for what? All people. And this message has gone around the world and it needs to keep going, amen? So let's keep telling the great, great news. Go ahead and have a seat. And Chris is going to come out and read to us the passage that we're going to just speak from tonight. So Chris, wherever you are, here he comes. Chris is our junior high pastor. Oh, you're right there. Go for it, man.
Sorry, I didn't mean to sneak up on you like that. Well, I'm going to read from Luke chapter 2, verse 8. There were shepherds camping in the neighborhood. They had set night watches over their sheep. Suddenly, God's angel stood among them, and God's glory blazed around them. They were terrified. The angel said, don't be afraid. I'm here to announce a great and joyful event that is meant for everybody worldwide. A Savior has just been born in David's town, a Savior who is Messiah and Master. This is what you're to look for, a baby wrapped in a blanket and lying in a manger. At once, the angel was joined by a huge angelic choir singing God's praises. Glory to God in the heavenly heights, peace to all men and women on earth who please him. As the angel choir withdrew into heaven, the shepherds talked it over. Let's get over to Bethlehem as fast as we can and see for ourselves what God has revealed to us. They left, running, and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. Seeing was believing. They told everyone they met what the angels had said about this child. All who heard, the sheepherders, were impressed. Mary kept all these things to herself, holding them dear deep within herself. The shepherds returned and let loose, glorifying and praising God for everything they had heard and seen. It turned out exactly the way they'd been told.
Thanks, Chris. Is there anybody here that never got an orange in their stocking? Anybody? Anybody? Here you go. You can have that orange. It'll take a big stocking for that one, but that's a large one. Oh, I love the story. I never get tired of hearing the story. I never get tired of telling the story, but I must admit to you, and you know this if you've read the story that we've just read again tonight, that the story has a lot of gaps in it. There are details that we wish were there. It really doesn't matter who the filmmaker or the storyteller is, to take up much more than about 10 minutes in reading it, you're kind of imagining what the story might have been. Because there's a lot of gaps, as I said. There are nameless characters there. There are bystanders. There are shepherds, a pack of them. We have no names. We have no idea how old they actually were. There's a sneaking suspicion that that group of shepherds just might have been the shepherds over what they called the temple flock, where those lambs were raised specifically for sacrifices in the temple in Jerusalem, just a few miles away. But that's supposition. We don't know for sure. We don't know how many magi actually came. We know there were three categories of gifts, the gold and the myrrh and the what? Incense from a guy named Frank. That's right. There were three different gifts that were given in honor of the baby Jesus. But there were a lot of extras in there without names. The innkeeper. We wonder how many doors they knocked on where there wasn't room until an innkeeper said, look, I'm absolutely packed, but you can stay in my stable, which wasn't uncommon. Just to find a warm corner at least out of the rain and the weather to just sort of huddle in. We don't know the name of the guy, and there's been lots of stories, lots of movies, lots of ideas that kind of try to fill in the blank. But there were all of these extras in the cast. How many of you When you go to the movies, the movie for you is not done until the blue screen comes on at the end of the credits. How many of you stick around for the credits? Joy and I do too, so that we can go around and pick up the uneaten popcorn and take that home. And no, not really, but we do. We stay right to the end because there's just a possibility there might be about a 1 minute freebie at the end, right? And you guys that leave, you miss those things, but most of the time there's nothing. A few years ago, they were rerunning the Lord of the Rings trilogy. And I love those movies. And we went to every one of them across the street. And they were a little bit longer than the ones that had been on the first release. And then at the end, there were extra long credits. And part of what made it long was this worldwide Lord of the Rings fan club. And everybody that was a member of the fan club, their name was on those credits. And we timed it. It took 20 minutes for those credits to run. And we sat there knowing, oh, they're going to give us something at the end of this for sure. You know what they gave us? Nothing. There was nothing there for the labor of waiting. And we waited all three times thinking, oh, what'll do in the second one? Oh, maybe in the third one. There was nothing. But all those people in the cast, all those people that put it together, their names are there, but in this cast, they're not even mentioned. Just those folks that were there. And I began this year to wonder as I looked over the Christmas story again on one group of people. And it's this group. I was going to put together, and in fact, I started, but it's not ready, so we'll put it off till next year. A little drama that would sort of put some life into these nameless characters. And here's the ones I'm speaking of. The shepherds, when they went away from the manger, when they went away from the stable, it says, as we read in the story, as Chris read, as they went back to their flocks, they told everybody that they could find that the Messiah had been born. They spread the message of the angels, and they would stop people on the streets, maybe even knock on some doors themselves again and say, hey, he's here. These people that we did, they just kind of disappear into the texture of the story, but they were there, and they were real people. They were their neighbors in Bethlehem, and probably some shopkeepers and soldiers and their version of peace officers. And I just imagine those encounters as they stopped them on the street, as the shepherds hit them with the news and said, he's here. And I could just imagine the response, who's here? Well, Messiah is here among us, the Christ, the Messiah. The Mahu is here? Yeah, the Messiah, the one we've prayed for and we've waited for and we've longed for. He's here. And they look around, where is he? Well, he's actually just a little guy. He's a little baby born just today. He's not even a day old and he's wrapped up in rags. And if you go down two blocks and you make a left and then make the second right, he's there in the back of that inn in a little stable. And whether or not anybody else went to see, we don't know, but I can imagine some said, well, I've got to see this for myself. Like in the text we read, seeing for them would probably have been believing too. But they told him, our Savior is here. Our Lord, the Christ, not our judge, not our boss, but our Savior is here and he's among us. And it says that they all marveled at one translation said, and they were impressed. I wonder what that impressed means. But they were just, some of them were just absolutely in awe and wonder that he was here over there in a barn. And that's where it all began, the Christmas story, right? Not really. See, the Christmas story started before the foundation of the earth. The scripture tells us that before the foundations of the earth were even laid in the heart of God with this master plan to make this race, this humanity that would live in the center of his universe. Before he even created us, he knew that his son would have to come and die for us. So in a sense, the Christmas story started before the creation story even started. But here now, in time and space, here he is among us, the plan that God begins to unfold. But even that didn't start on what we call the first Christmas day. God's response to us goes back to the very first broken people that inhabited the planet all alone, to Adam and Eve. He'd given them something so wonderful, life on this beautiful, beautiful globe, this ball floating through space. And instantly, it seems, it was broken. And then God began to respond. And the plan was laid out. And it was always going to happen. Why? Because God is love. Because God doesn't just sit back when we suffer. He approaches us. And as we read a couple of weeks ago on our weekend services, God looked down upon the enslaved nation of Israel. And he said to those people, he said to their leader, Moses, he said, I have seen the oppression. He said, I hear their cries and I know, I love this one, I know their sorrow. And you see, some of you even here tonight, you know what that means. That's very personal to you. Because maybe sorrow is this lingering visitor in your own life. There was a gentleman I met at the beginning of the 5 o'clock service today, and his son and daughter-in-law and their family attend here, you know, very faithfully, and they're here every week that they're in town. And I saw this tall man walk in behind this other younger man. I thought, that is that man's father. There was no question. You know when you see just the imprint, like the mirror image. And I went up to him and I said, "You are Chad's dad." And he said, "Yes, I am Chad's dad." And we talked for a moment and he said, "It's been a tough season. Chad's brother just passed away." And Chad's, you know, younger than me. That's hard. And so there's that very present sorrow. He came to bear our sorrow. And God said that day to Moses, "I know the sorrow, the oppression, the cries, and I love this part, so I've come down." See, it doesn't really help us until God comes down, until God is present here with us. God knew the only answer then, as well as now, is his presence. His presence. Everybody say that word. Presence. How do you spell it? P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E or P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S-T-S. Presence. They're coming, aren't they? They're just a few hours away. The presence are coming. But the presence and the presence are all wrapped up together when we're talking about God. Because when he comes, his presence, oh, it's filled with presence. It's filled with gifts. Because he comes laden down with good things for his people. Don't let anybody kid you. It's Christmas. Christmas is all about the presence. It's all about the presence of God. And it's all about those gifts that he brings with his presence when he comes into our lives. All those gifts that are wrapped up in him. And especially the peace. That's the big word in Christmas. It's what the angel said. It's the message that was spread all over the place. There is peace now. Jesus Christ, the last night with his disciples, had a long, long conversation with him. And he says towards the end of it, "And I tell you all these things so my peace will remain in you, that your peace will be full. You'll have my peace." The end of that dinner before he prays, "I've told you all these things, guys, because I want you to live your life here in peace." God knew that we needed him and all the presents that are wrapped up in his presence. So he came for us. And the big question tonight, listen carefully, this might be the most important thing you hear. He came for you. The question is, have you come to him? Have you responded to him? He came all that way for you, for me. Have you responded to him? Have you come with the sorrow, with the pain, with the guilt, with the regrets? How many of you have... By the way, how many of you are new here and you've never been here before? And I hope I don't make you too uncomfortable here tonight, but there, you're raising your hand, so this one won't be hard. How many of you have regrets? Not new people, everybody. How many of you have regrets? Anybody? We're going to start right down here. We want to know what your regrets are. We've all got them. We all have something that we think, "I wish I would have said that," or what? Not said that. "I wish I would have done that," or not done that. And have you brought those regrets to him? Have you made confession to God and said, "God, I'm sorry for my sin. I know that my sin offends you." I had this thought today that every one of us, every single soul that's ever lived, has done something that I guess you could say breaks the heart of God. And if God were a human type father, every one of us has done something that disappointed him. But since God knows everything, I guess it might be wrong to say he's disappointed in us. But maybe things that grieve his heart. Have you brought those things to him and said, "God, I'm sorry. Raise me up, give me strength, and help me to serve you and to live for you." Bring all those things to him. You know, that's what he wants. I don't know if you got everybody else on your list covered. Some of you might still be hoping I get done soon enough that you can go out and do just a little bit more Christmas shopping, right? The stores are open late tonight. They're open really, really late. So maybe you can squeeze in one or two more gifts. I don't know, but I'll tell you what Jesus wants. He wants you. As broken as you may be, as hopeless as you may feel, as lonely as you might be, he's the answer to all of those things. He wants you. And he even said, "Bring your burdens to me." He wants you and your burdens. He wants all that stuff. And he wants you just to lay it down before him. See, this is where the Christmas story, it gets so personal. It's the coming of a Savior for people who need saving. I mean, that probably should go without saying, but for a Savior to be a Savior, there must be somebody to save. Otherwise, he's just a visitor. And Jesus didn't come to visit. Jesus came to save people who absolutely needed saving. And maybe that's why we all engage so much in this story. I mean, when you strip away all of the loveliness we've wrapped around it with our decorating and our songs, justifiable, beautiful poetry, and all these expressions of worship that we lift to him, I mean, underneath it all is this amazing story that just grips the heart of people. I know I've told you the story before of her. Her name was Li Ping Deng, and I don't know if the first or last name, what order that's in, but she was a computer. In my computer class, she was a teacher's aide, and I remember talking with her when I had a little problem and helped me figure this out, and I told her about Jesus, and she said, he was real? She said, yeah, I've heard of him, but I thought he was just part of your Christmas myth, just your Christmas, you know, fiction along with Santa Claus. There was Santa Claus and Jesus next to him, and neither one of them were real. I said, oh, he's real. And he came to save you. I said, would you like him to do that? She said, of course. It's just that simple. If it's real, yeah. I got regrets too. And she just quickly said, yes, I want to know him. But I think what draws us to this story is just how real it is and how it speaks to those deepest needs in every single one of us, all of us here tonight. Now, honestly, strip away all the beauty and the coziness of the story as we tell it. I mean, just that first Christmas night. And see it as any other passerby would have seen it. And you know what it was in one word? It was tough. It's hard. It was difficult. And maybe even in Mary's condition, it could have been excruciating for him. See it as it is, just a difficult scene. Starts with what? An unplanned pregnancy. And not an accidental one. I mean, this was a very different unplanned pregnancy, but it was unplanned nonetheless. Mary and Joseph didn't think that's the way that their married life would start, but it did. And then there's this difficult, unimaginable journey. Do you know how far they journeyed from Nazareth down to Bethlehem? 111 miles. And probably by foot, unless they had a beast. And then I'm not sure if I was Mary, whether I would rather ride on the beast that would jostle me around, or whether I'd just take a gentle pace and walk down the road. Can you imagine 111 miles, probably 7 or 8 months pregnant, as you're making a slow pace down the road? And, you know, maybe it was even earlier. Maybe Mary, from all that hard journey, maybe it was a bit of an early delivery. Who knows? I can't imagine that. Can you, ladies? You know, you're that pregnant, and your husband says, come on, babe, we're going. No, well, have a nice trip, honey, as you head on down to Bethlehem. Let me know how it goes. But she goes along on that ride. And you know, the hardest part of that whole journey, can you imagine this? Now think about this. No Wi-Fi. There is no Wi-Fi anywhere. There's no 3G. There's nothing. You're just traveling, and it's hard travel down a dusty, very, very rocky road. But here's the point. Here's why they did it. Because you were worth it. Because God looked down on a broken world full of broken people, and he said, this will be hard, but this is what it will take to save them. That's why I think we're so drawn in, because when you look closely at the story, you see that it is your story. And face it, we all need hope. We all need help, okay? If you're new here, you don't need to turn to anybody and say this. And if somebody says, hey, you're supposed to say something to me, just say, I'm new, okay? But I want you to turn to one another and just say this. Look in somebody's eyes and say this. I need help. Go ahead, do it. I need help. I need help, Jeff. I need help, Joy. She said, I know you need help. No, she didn't. I need help. I need a Savior. You know who else needed a Savior those days? You hear it in her song. Did you know Mary was a songwriter? She was. She wrote a beautiful piece of poetry. It's called the Magnificat. And in the Magnificat, she said, my heart rejoices in God my Savior. Not God my buddy, not God my equal, but God my Savior. Mary confessed the fact that she was a sinner who needed a Savior. A young woman, a beautiful, just precious young woman who found grace in the eyes of the Lord, but she needed a Savior like everybody else does. And he came for her. Imagine, she is carrying and giving birth to the one that came to save her. Wow. What that just must have blown her little Jewish mind, you know, as a little young teenage girl. This is, whoa, what? Wow, how will this happen? And she pondered those things in her heart. You know what that means? She had questions. She didn't know how all of this was possible. But this Christmas story is simply this beginning in time and space, the launching of this rescue operation, yours and mine. Rescue. I'm reading a book right now. Biggest book I've read in a long, 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 long time. It's from Joel Rosenberg. It's his latest book. He said it was his hardest one to write. It's called The Auschwitz Escape. It's the first time he's written a book that is what he calls historical fiction. It's hard. It's hard reading. But you know, the title of it, The Auschwitz Escape. I haven't finished it. I haven't gotten to the escape. I can't wait to read the part. At least I hope it's in there. I hope there's an escape in a book like that. The Auschwitz escape. But you know, there's been a lot of escape stories. We love escape stories. There's been some botched escape stories too. There's been those that didn't come out. Two weeks ago, there was one in Yemen where SEAL team number 6 went in to rescue some hostages and their cover was blown and the hostages' lives were taken. And there's been a lot of those kind of botched escapes where it just didn't pan out. I mean, wasn't that the whole story of Gilligan's Island? They just couldn't get off the island. They were going to make it. This was it. We found something that's a flood. The winds are blowing. We're going to make it. And somebody would pull the cord on it, and it never happened. Listen, what if this one didn't work? You know, this escape plan was almost botched. Well, not by God. This one almost failed. See, if Herod had succeeded, then Jesus would have been killed before he went to the cross for our sins. And where would that leave us? What if Jesus had failed? There was no plan B. Let me have your attention. Nobody else is coming for us. Jesus came for us. There wasn't another Savior waiting on deck to knock it out of the park. Jesus was the only Savior there would ever be. And if he had failed, well, then we would still be lost and we would still be hopeless. Every story of need and brokenness and hopelessness and despair and darkness would be a never-ending story. But listen again, every single story, every human story, yours included, your suffering, your pain, your burdens, they are no less known to God than anybody else's ever were. Every single burden and every bit of brokenness, every bit of hopelessness and despair is the basis of the Christmas story where God says, I see, and I will come, and I will save, and I will deliver. There is hope. He came here for us. And isn't that what draws us? Isn't that what we've waited to hear, that we are not discarded, that we are not beyond God's reach, that there is hope? Say that word with me. Hope. There's hope. Why? Because he came. Because he came to lift us out of hopelessness. And he calls us now. Because of what he's done, he calls us to respond. Let me say this. This is so important that you respond. It's not enough to say, well, he did it. It's done. I guess when I die, I go to heaven. Oh, nobody gets to heaven by dying. The only people that get to heaven by trusting the one who died for them. That's the only way that any of us, as I've said before, jump the grave. That's the only way we become victors over death and the grave. He calls us to his presence. And I tell you, everything that you need, I mean, down at the core of your being, everything you need is found right there in his presence. His love and his hope and forgiveness. And that huge Christmas word, peace. It was all for you. You were made, I don't know if you've heard it this way before, but you were created by God, not just to have a good time in life. Hope you have a good time in life, by the way. But you weren't created just to have a pleasant life and a good time. You were created to know God, to have this relationship with God. You were created to know him and to love him and to serve him and to experience that peace and that never-dying hope. The peace that only he can give, his perfect peace that comes with his perfect presence. There's a few verses, listen to these. In Isaiah 26, it says, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, whose minds are fixed on you. Do you know the only time that I lose my peace is when I get my eyes off of Jesus? And I get my eyes on the circumstances. I get my eyes on the conflict. I get my eyes fixed on the disappointment. Peace dissipates just like that. You know when it comes back? When I turn my eyes upon Jesus again. That's why in Hebrews in chapter 12, it says, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. He's the author, the beginner. He's the finisher. He's the one that will wrap up what he started in you. He will not leave this project unfinished if you cooperate with him. At 11 in Philippians in chapter 4, in verse 7, Paul said it like this. It's a peace. It's this peace that you just can't figure it out. The peace that passes what? Understanding. That means there's times in your life where there it is. How many of you understand this? It's peace that's there. There it is, but it shouldn't be there. Because given the circumstances, you should be going as cuckoo as everybody around you. You should be flipping out, as we used to say. You should be in a rage, but you're not. I've watched God's perfect peace come upon people in times like that, where I'm flipping out on their behalf, but they're fine in the middle of the storm. They're saying, no, God's got it all in control. Talking to a dad after the service, after the 5 o'clock service today about his son, and I was just getting a little upset about stuff that's going on there. He said, you know, God's in control. And God had given him that peace. That perfect peace, because that mind is fixed on him, a peace that just passes understanding. God has that perfect peace for you today, that peace that just will blow your mind. He's got this for you, the forgiveness, the pardon of sin. You can be free. Where? In his presence, as you walk in his presence. And you keep those eyes fixed on him. The reason I think you love and I love, and we all do this season, is because this truly is our story. It really is. We're right there in the center of it. Engage this season in more than the seasonal fun. Maybe just allow this season to remind you that, look, he came. So I'm okay because I trust him and I walk with him. When? Today and when? Tomorrow and when? On into eternity. As I'll just trust him every step along the way. Engage in that relationship with God and let it start right now. Right now. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up and we're going to sing one more and then we're going to go outside and light the candles and let the neighborhood know that we've got something to sing about and celebrate about if you can stick around. The Christmas story, though, as we close here, is all about God's love for us. Can you quote it with me? The angel said, "Fear not, I bring you good news of great joy. It's for all people, because today is born unto you in the city of David, Bethlehem, your Savior, who is Christ the Lord." That's your Savior, who is Christ the Lord. One more time, turn to somebody and tell them, he came for you. He came for you. He came for you. He loves you. He came for you. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the amazing gift of your love for us. Lord, I wonder if we say it so many times that it becomes mundane to us. Forgive us for that, Lord. May we be caught up with this every time we hear it, that you love us. You love us, Lord. And I thank you that you demonstrated that in your Son, that you came and were present and are present among us. So, Father, tonight I pray that you would open hearts to receive your love in such a definitive and focused way, Lord, that we would surrender the rule of our life to you tonight, Lord, and allow you to do what you came to do, Jesus. We welcome your work in our lives tonight, Lord, to lift the burdens, to forgive the sin, to get us past the regrets, Lord God, and to break those chains that just keep jerking us back and pulling us down, Lord. Oh God, come tonight, be a Savior among us, a restorer, healer, companion, Lord, be present. Thank you. We welcome you, Lord. We come to you. Let me ask you to keep your eyes closed for just a moment. I know there are some here tonight that would say, I want in on this. I want to give Jesus what's left of my life. I need his, and you fill in the blank. It's the forgiveness, the burden lifted. You need that weight just lifted off your shoulders. You need the chains just shattered so you can live life free. Sins can be forgiven. Your life can be new tonight. And if that's you and you want that this evening, you're ready to surrender to Jesus. We're going to pray together. Congregation, you get to pray along with these that have just lifted their hands. Let's accompany them as they say these wonderful words of surrender to their God. And I want you all to join me. Those of you who lifted your hands, let's pray this prayer together like this. Say this: Father in heaven, thank you for loving me enough to send Jesus to die for my sins and to rise from the dead. I have sinned. I'm sorry for my sins. Please forgive me and come into my life. Make me a brand new person. Help me to live the life that pleases you. The rest of my life is yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's thank the Lord for a work that he did tonight. Author and finisher. Thank you, Father. I'll tell you what just happened. Something started. Something started in lives in here tonight. He's the author, the originator, the starter. He's going to finish what he started too. And for some of you, you know what happened? You restarted. You came back. Maybe a point of restoration tonight. Welcome back. To you that just prayed that prayer in a focused way from your heart, we welcome you to the family of God. We welcome you back. And you know what? Heaven's throwing a party for you right now. In the first service this morning at noon, for some reason, the lights started flashing on and off. And I thought, well, that's a nice little party. That's a good, almost like a disco ball effect or something like that. But the party going off in heaven right now because you said, Jesus, I need you. You thrilled the heart of the Father. And welcome home. Welcome back. Welcome to the family of God. Let's all stand together. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing your favorite Christmas carol, and then we're going to walk out, and we're going to each take a candle and light them up there. Joy, would you come on up with me, please? You guys hear me talk about the beautiful redhead. This is her in person right here, and she just wanted to say Merry Christmas to you. I know. Before or after? Well, right now is fine, yeah.
Well, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. And God loves you. Love him back.
Amen. Amen. We're going to sing with you, Silent Night. Let's lift our voices and bless the Lord together, okay? Thank you, Jesus.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, right.
In any other language, may you have the most wonderful Christmas.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.